Sermons from the Journey is an audio podcast of the weekly message preached by Reverend Rebecca Clark, pastor at Trinity United Methodist Church in Montpelier, Vermont, and blogging online at pastorbecca.com. Thanks for listening.
I knew that Ariana would be an energetic child and had a suspicion that she might be a spiritually attuned child the very first time I felt her move. We were at an evening prayer service, worship service, kind of contemporary music, and there was a clown serving communion, which sounds odd but really is quite moving and powerful. And there was lots of singing, and this was not the church I was serving, but some of the youth from that church were participating in this service, so we were there to watch that. And the preacher was preaching, this pastor, a colleague of mine, was preaching, and this is a colleague who doesn't read from the Bible. He memorized, I think he probably has the whole thing memorized by now, but he memorizes the passage that's going to be read that day, you know, and he just recites or performs almost, in a sense, the reading from the Bible. And so his reading was from the second chapter of Acts when the disciples experience the Holy Spirit coming upon them for the first time, and they start speaking in all these different languages, and there's the flames dancing all over the place. And so he performs this passage of Scripture, and then he starts preaching about the power and the movement of the Holy Spirit. And it was at that moment that he was talking about the movement of the Holy Spirit, I am not making this up, that I felt for the first time this little boop inside me that was the first time I felt and knew I felt Ariana moving. As any parent who's experienced that can tell you, it's an amazing thing. It's a shocking kind of joy. And so I imagine Elizabeth in this moment, Elizabeth, who we are told she and her husband Zechariah have longed for a child for a very long time. And as with many stories in the Bible, as with many stories in our world, in our experience, they have been unable to conceive, and they carry that grief. But then they are able to conceive, and they are told that the child that they bear will be a prophet, a messenger from God, not the Messiah, as Mary is told, and we heard last week, but a messenger of God who will be John the Baptist, Jesus' cousin. And so Mary and Elizabeth, these sister women, these beautiful women, embody kind of the opposite ends of the childbearing spectrum, right? We have Mary, who is young, virgin, barely able to conceive, has not entered her childbearing years, and yet this miracle occurs and she is with child. And we have Elizabeth, older and barren, unable to conceive, at the end of her potential childbearing years, and yet this miracle occurs and she is with child. And these two women from opposite ends of the spectrum come together, are brought together in this shared moment, this shared experience, a rare glimpse in a Bible filled, it's a beautiful book, it's a wonderful collection of stories of the people of God, but it is filled with the tales of men and their exploits, we know it is, a rare glimpse into the lives of these women folk from 2,000 years ago. And they greet one another in what must be this tender scene, the older woman and the younger woman, in this shared experience of their first pregnancy. And in that moment when Mary says hello, Elizabeth experiences the movement of the child within her and knows and recognizes that it is a leap of joy. These two women in their shared experience know that God can accomplish the impossible and that the presence of the Holy can dwell in and be known to us. Have you ever been so happy you thought you might explode from the joy? That's how I imagine both of these women in that moment. It's almost painful when you are so happy that you can't keep it in. Maybe you've been that happy recently. Maybe you have to dig way back into your past to find a moment like that. Maybe you feel that way all the time. Maybe you think you'll never feel that way again. Mary and Elizabeth each strike me as individuals who perhaps had experienced moments of that great joy, but probably not very often, and probably feared or felt that they might not be that happy again. And yet, with God, we are told in this moment, everything is possible. The people who've walked in darkness, as Isaiah said, the people who have waited, the people who have held on to hope despite all evidence, now, when those people feel joy, it is so powerful, it overflows. When you find it, you have to share it because it spills out of you. One of our members in the United Methodist Connection in New England, Pastor Steve Garnes Holmes, writes a daily devotional, and he wrote on Facebook this morning, and I'm paraphrasing, that there is something inside each of us that recognizes God's presence when we come in contact with it. And we need to cultivate that in us so that we can take time to listen and to leap with joy. Just as not only the child within John the Baptist, we know, the child within Elizabeth recognizes the presence of God and leaps for joy, but Elizabeth herself recognizes that that is the Spirit of God moving in her. When we recognize and feel God's presence, our cups overflow with joy, and delight bubbles out from us. There are people who walk around like this a lot of the time. I bet you know people. There are people in your life that radiate joy and love of life. They shine with the very light of God. When they walk into the room, you know, the whole room lights up. When they speak or sing or pray or hold your hand while you grieve, you know the presence of God in that place. And something in you, tangible or not, leaps with joy and hope and love. And that's what I think it means to be Mary's and Elizabeth's. And yes, Joseph's and Zechariah's too in our day. To be so filled with the presence of God that it flows out of us and other people notice. And to be so attuned to that presence in the world that all within us leaps for joy. When we find and experience and come in contact with something that is of God, and the hairs on the backs of our neck or on the tops of our forearms raise with that tingling awareness of presence, of holy, of hope. Even and especially in the darkest places of our lives, even and especially when we think we might never experience that overwhelming, overflowing joy again. When we know that presence of God, of Christ in the world, then Christ is born, whether it is Christmas Eve or Christmas Day or any day of the year, because we find and experience that joy and we leap with thanksgiving. Now, I've been playing us a couple of songs for reflection, and this one is whimsical and perhaps even a little bit silly. I know it's not what the song's about at all, but when I hear it, I can't help think of Christmas and of the Advent promise and of the joy of finding God. in the midst of places we did not expect. So I want you to take note of really only two things. The first is the joy within the music. It is music for dancing, for clubbing, which is meant to make you get up and dance. And it's that sense of contagious joy and spontaneous laughter and promise and celebration. And then the refrain, which is the only part of the song that makes any sense, I think. But the refrain, by Rihanna, "We found love in a hopeless place."